Before I became a follower of Jesus, I was like a branch. I was like a branch hoping for nothing higher for myself than that I should be good firewood. My aspirations for my life were to burn long and burn well and burn brightly. I wanted to contribute some small light of insight to humanity to hold at bay that void, blank expanse of all that we cannot know. I wanted to provide some small warmth in this cold world. Like an open fire on a winter's night, I wanted at least those who were closest to me to know some warmth from how I lived. I felt the most that I could hope to ever do would be to burn myself up, to burn myself out, to turn from ashes back to ashes, consumed and gone, but having made some small difference for having lived, having held back the cold and indifferent night as long as my life should endure until, consumed and dry and ashen, I would blow away with the wind and return to the dust, so that the next generation could make of themselves fuel for the fire. It was the human project, as far as I knew it, to keep the fire burning against the night, to keep the fire burning no matter what. Before I began to follow Jesus, I was like a branch whose highest aspiration was to be good firewood, to burn well, to burn long, to burn brightly, never knowing that I was a branch taken from a vineyard and that I had been made to bear fruit. Now, in the scriptures, we read that we are made to bear fruit, but understand that fruit is not something that is beautiful to look at. Fruit is not something sweet and delightful to consume. Fruit is not the proof of work, the results of productivity. Fruit has seeds in it. That's what makes it fruit. Fruit has the possibility of new life within it. That's what makes it so precious. It has the possibility of new life, the capacity to grow far beyond itself, to become something new, something that has a life of its own. That's what fruit is. It is the possibility of new life. We are like branches. A branch can bear fruit. That fruit can grow into many branches. Those branches can themselves bear fruit. On and on and on. One branch, multiplying 100-fold, growing to be something greater than what any one branch could ever grow to be on its own. One branch can live and grow and die. But a seed can become a vineyard. Since I started to follow Jesus, I began to believe that I might be able to be more, that life might be more than seeking to be firewood, burning ourselves up to hold back a cold and indifferent night. We are made to bear the fruit of new life to the world. To be a Christian is to know that heaven on earth is to be built, and that it is to be built with our own hands. The work that we do, the lives that we live, they are to be shot through with new life, with the possibility of eternity, as small as a grape seed today, but tomorrow, a vineyard. A vineyard across the whole of the world. We are made to bear the fruit of a new world into being, a world that God dreams of, a world of plenty for all and dignity for all, to build that world. That is what life is for. That is what my life is for. That is what your lives are for. to make God's dream real. Now understand, please, that this is not delusion, nor is it self-congratulation or puffing ourselves up with our own importance, because bearing the fruit of new creation into being, that is not something that can come from our own personal efforts. I am just a single branch. And a single branch cannot on its own bring fruit into being. I could work myself down to ashes. But if I rely on myself only, then fruit can never come. Because if I rely on myself only, then I have no higher power to draw upon. I have no deeper well of reserves to draw up from. To bear fruit, to bring something new into life. A branch must live as a part of a great and living vine. To change the world into the way God dreams it could be, we as Christians must live as a part of a great and living God. We must live in God and draw our strength from God like a branch growing from a vine. If the branch grows from the vine, if we live in God, then flowing through us, flowing through our hands, can come water, drawn up by the vine's great deep roots that reach down into the deeps of mystery, to reserves far greater than we would ever need, far greater than we can even fathom. A branch can bear fruit. We can bring God's dream to fruition because something flows through us. What flows through us is something higher and more elemental than we. What we can do, the way we can bring new life, is by being a conduit, a branch of a living vine, bearing fruit, as small as a grape seed today, a vineyard stretching to eternity tomorrow. Now, this may seem difficult and abstract, but it's actually easy. It's easy to tell when God is at work in something. It's very easy to tell when the God of life has taken what we ourselves have done and multiplied it 100-fold, given it a life of its own, far beyond what we would ever dare to seek to accomplish on our own, giving us fruits of our work. It's easy to tell. Since I've become a follower of Jesus, I have personally witnessed what it is like when God flows through the faithful and makes of their work something fruitful, something with a life all of its own. I've seen a church in Chicago that brought that great city together in mourning an unprecedented string of deaths of young black men, with a Franciscan monk teaching Latin chant and finding that Latin blends beautifully when it is sung in Englewood accents. I've seen a church in Minneapolis that sought to build supportive housing for people transitioning from living on the streets and found in the residents not passive recipients of charity, but the best neighbors and strongest partners in mission that that church would ever know. I've seen this church taking blue and yellow yarn and finding ourselves not just knitting scarves, but stitching back together the heart of a city. And then again, at this church, I've seen us open a daytime warming center for unhoused neighbors, not knowing what to expect, not knowing whether anyone would come that first week. And what came? What came was a life-giving community, a community that we have come to call Boston Warm, a flowering, fruitful ministry, a flower growing in the midst of a killing cold. Now, the ministry of Boston Warm has borne much fruit in 4 months. It has taken on a life of its own. God has flown through it. We have seen that. Borne fruit far beyond what we could have expected, and that's how you know that God is in it. It started small, like a grape seed, with a rough-hewn stone-walled room with a heavy fire door. and checkered cloths on folding tables, and a curtain strung around a half dozen green cots, the ready smile of David Alba, the kind heart of Rebecca Bowler, conversations over cribbage and countless PB&J sandwiches, and the smell of coffee always in the air. And as weeks turned to months, the fruit began to grow. And we have all seen it. We have seen it in the honesty of Tom Monahan. And we have seen it in free haircuts and in close calls with deadly addictions. And we have seen it in the stillness of a plastic bin that no one would ever come claim again. And almost before it made sense, almost before it made sense to check for any progress on this seed, to see whether it had grown, before it even made sense to look there, in our hands, the ripe fruit on the vine. Something had come into being, something new, something of life. What had come into being was a community of unhoused persons together, creating with volunteers, a community together of respect and dignity for all the people of God. It is a foretaste. It is a foretaste of the very realm of God. We've seen it. We've held it in our own hands, the fruit of a new creation. Now remember, fruit is not something delightful to behold. Fruit is not something sweet to consume. Fruit is not what is sustaining to the body or nourishing to the spirit. Fruit has seeds in it. That's what makes it fruit. Fruit bears the possibility of new life inside it. That's what makes it so precious. The possibility of something new. Boston Worm is a fruit born of God, and I wonder, what will this grow into, this seed? What will be next? I don't know. I know that as of Friday, the Boston Worm Day Center changed from being open 5 days a week to being open 2 days a week. The killing cold is gone. Thanks be to God. The killing cold is gone. The need for this church to shield our brothers and sisters from winter within the strong arms of this house of God, that has come to an end. But what has not come to an end is our ministry with these sisters and brothers. Our ministry with these people who we have come to know, whose names we know. That is just at its beginning. A grape seed today and tomorrow? God knows what that will be. Branches and vines and vineyards, fruit and fire, God and humanity, work and life and meaning. And what does it all amount to in the end, this life we lead, this work we do, these years that are given to us, this good we seek, the lives we touch, the love we share? How can these things, so small, so elemental, so ordinary, how can these things be what is built into heaven on earth? How can something so small be built into something so great? I don't know. I don't pretend to know the ways of God. But I believe. I believe that new life and new ministries will grow and will ripen and will come to fruition, that new leaders from among the congregation, new leaders will step forward, and that lives that have turned a corner will be forever changed, and that something will come to fruition that is greater and harder and higher and holier than what we would ever dare to undertake on our own were we only to have our own strength to rely upon. I also believe that we have been given a gift, a glimpse into heaven's gates. And I believe that on the other side of the veil of tears, when God wakes you from death,
and welcomes you into the realms of light. I believe that when God wakes you from death, it will not be very different at all from the way Rebecca Bowler wakes our guests from their sleep with a gentle touch, calling them each by name.